Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, another independence declaring kind of individual, Mr. Ian Freeman, Free Talk Live. Now this is we're gonna get into, you know, having some fun. I just want to real quick. We've been having problems technical with the man. I mean, it's the man, you know, something the man. But it's always. You never know. What we're gonna do is the Free State Project, for those that don't know, was an idea of a young man from Yale, I think it was, that came up, you know, if you could have enough freedom-oriented libertarian types go into a small state and be able to have influence there in the community and the legislature, then you might be able to have a beachhead for freedom somewhere in the country, United States of America. Well, they came and put tables up and so on early in, God, like 2003, 2004, around in there at our Freedom Summits in Arizona. So we knew about it going in. Our only Freedom Summit that we had outside of Arizona was in Manchester in like 2005, around there, I think. And it was a good idea. We could see where it would go. And it took people like Ian to go, yep. From Florida, as a talk show host there, he's like, I'm going to New Hampshire. We're going to go be somebody. Well, he came. And it's always the freedom-oriented issues. What's the proper role of government? Are they there to defend individual rights, or are they the ones taking them away? Are they supportive of gun rights? You know, currency that belongs to the people. What about trading in silver? What about barter? How bad is the IRS, you know? And how difficult was it to get legislators? Well, dozens and dozens of liberty-oriented legislators are there. So there was a ripe opportunity for Ian and Mark Edge to come in and take their show, Free Talk Live, that built up over 200 affiliates around the nation, which is definitely one good reason to, we don't like it, you know, being the man. So I wanted to, he has a controversy now that's going to threaten his freedom for decades. And what happened was, in the promotion of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and goldbacks and silver to bring the power and the anonymity back to the individual in their commerce and their dealings with their fellow citizens, their neighbors. I don't even want to say citizens. But, you know, this has been a really good example. And one thing that Ian has always promoted, don't take the plea deal. Now, there were six people called the Crypto Six that were arrested, and really the target, I think, is Ian. But what happens is, you know, they threaten you with decades and decades, unless you sign here and you make us a deal. Well, I'm not for making deals with the government, you know, and got it, stories on that. But Ian didn't do the plea deal. Threatened with decades. Well, now it's come down to guilty, 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 and we're at sentencing. There's going to be appeals. There's going to be fine arguments on every little piece of law on this. And I want Ian to go ahead, and we'll go back before. We'll go back to where you first arrived, a lot of your Keeniacs and your activism and so on there. You came, you know, you had that Chinese curse. You lived in interesting times. You came to the attention of important people. So, you know, they're coming after you. So there, this is not the first time. There's been several times, and a lot of us in the freedom community have stuck with Ian, you know, because, you know, he's been representative of the kind of pushback that we need, that we've been missing. Well, they don't like that. So go ahead, Ian, when you first heard about the Free State Project, what your experiences were going there, the leadership that you've demonstrated, the opposition that you've gotten from even inside the community. But now you had at your sentencing, that was on September 11th, of course, you know, you go there and they postponed it, but you had, God, dozens, 100 people there or something in support of you. And then what you see up on the screen here is a just a minute and a half interview that you did for one of the local television. Now, do you want to start with that, or you just want to go ahead and take it? Because it's going to be all you. You know, Ian, he no dead air on his show, so he's going to take care of business. But, you know, whenever you want this played, let me know. Otherwise, we're just going to have you monologue your story now that we got a good connection and everything. So go ahead, Ian, entertain us, man. Information.
Well, I mean, it's your show, Ernie. I wouldn't tell you which order to do things, but you asked me about early days, and in the earliest days of New Hampshire as being selected by the Free State Project's membership, they early movers came in. I was an earlier mover. I was, I think, mover 150. But mover number 50 was Dave Ridley, who you may know from the Ridley Report, which he's, by the way, back on the Ridley Report now. For those who have been missing that, he's back. He was approached by an FBI agent named Phil Christiana in 2005. So this was more than a year before I moved up. And Phil Christiana wanted to know if any of his Free Stater friends were inclined to violence. And of course, Dave told him, no, it's a peaceful movement. There aren't violent people here. We don't welcome. If people show up and they're acting violent or talking about violence, they're not generally welcomed within our community. And unfortunately, that was not the end of Phil Christiana's visits to Keene and his interest in the Free Staters, but likely just the beginning of it, as he came back in probably more times. I know that he talked to Kurt Hoffman at one point, or tried to. I think he failed to talk to Kurt Hoffman after that, a couple of years after. And then he was another mover. And then in 2012, then they set up my friend, who was then known as Rich Paul. He changed his name subsequently to Nobody to run for governor here in New Hampshire.
Vote for Nobody.
He was targeted by Phil Christiana and set up. He was selling cannabis in the Keene area, and they arrested him using an undercover, using an informant, somebody that they had already arrested for selling heroin. The informant was selling heroin. So they told the informant, we'll let you off the heroin dealing charges if you help us bust this marijuana dealer, my friend Nobody. So they used the heroin dealer to make some purchases undercover with, you know, video and audio from my friend. And then they ultimately arrested my friend. And then as soon as he was arrested by the Keene police, they took him to the police station where Phil Christiana was waiting for him. And Phil wanted him to agree to wear a wire into the Keene Activist Center, which was kind of a place where different activists in the area would get together to hang out and plot things or whatever. And so Christiana wanted him to wear a wire, and Rich refused to do that. And he said, you're just going to have to, you know, prosecute me, because they were saying they'd drop the marijuana charges if he would just wear a wire into the Keene Activist Center, which he refused to do. So they prosecuted him, and he spent a year in jail for selling cannabis. So that was another instance with Phil Christiana. And so this guy is the person who is also the agent in charge of the agent who did the investigation into the Crypto Six, as we are called. You mentioned the six people that were arrested for selling cryptocurrency without asking government permission, which none of us, of course, thought we had to do. Here in New Hampshire, they actually specifically said that selling Bitcoin directly to another person does not require any kind of government license. We even had an opinion from an attorney, Seth Hipple, who wrote a four-page opinion letter after he researched both the federal and the state law on money transmitting and money services business, these legal terms. And he said that what we were doing did not qualify and on either the state level or the federal level under those particular rules. So according to our beliefs, even under their own rules, what we were doing wasn't illegal. But that didn't stop them, of course, from investigating us for 5 years and then bringing dozens of criminal charges against us. The investigation went on for quite a long time, including 24-hour surveillance of my house.
Okay, now this agent that, made a project of you guys, why? I mean, is he, kind of a stand-up America kind of guy, or is he just a, tool of, they, them, those, or he was looking for job security?
Of course,
what?
He's just doing what the FBI does. That's not uncommon for them to investigate political movements. They have agents embedded everywhere from Antifa to white nationalists to, hard leftists to the Free State Project. They are obsessed with knowing about any kind of movement that could change the status quo. And this has been true since the beginning of the FBI. In fact, I think Mark Edge, my co-host on Free Talk Live, was interviewing a former FBI agent once who said that it's about half of the FBI is designated towards investigating, purported crimes, and then the other half is dedicated to infiltrating political movements. So, that's what he's doing. He's investigating a movement that is, gaining headway. In 2005, it had the potential of gaining headway, and it had a lot of buzz behind it. Now, of course, now we've had 20,000 people at least sign up for the Free State Project. That number was reached in 2016. And that triggered the move, as they called it. But of course, people had been moving for a decade prior to that. But now it's, it was official, and the Free State Project move has now happened. And I don't know what the numbers are at. I expect it's somewhere around the range of, several thousand people have moved here.
I'll tell you one number that they're worried about.
In 2020.
How many legislators you guys have elected? How many
sure.
Legislators? In at any one time, the maximum that, and that doesn't mean there's been some come in and out, but at the maximum, how many legislators have there been from the Free State Project or Free State endorsed in the legislature?
Well, if we were to count all of them that have been in and out, it would probably be like over 100. But right now, it's like 50 something all at once. So we have about, as I understand it, there's 400 people in the New Hampshire legislature, so we've got a good chunk, an eighth roughly of the state house, and that's a pretty good start considering most libertarians have no elected people anywhere, except for maybe dog catcher or soil and water conservation boards around the country. So here the libertarians are running as Democrats and Republicans, and are getting elected primarily as Republicans, but some have been elected as Democrats. And even more are infiltrating the Democratic Party as we speak. They're super paranoid about that, by the way. They just came out with a 24-page piece, which the Free State Project just posted today, all about how the Free Staters are a threat to democracy, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
So they're constantly on the attack against the Free Staters here in New Hampshire, and that's because the Free Staters are actually successful. We are actual libertarians who are winning. And most libertarians out there don't understand what that's like because they've never won anything and they never will win anything because there aren't enough libertarians, which, of course, is the whole point behind the Free State Project, is to concentrate as much activism and as many activists into the same geographic area, in this case a very small, low population geographic area, so as to have an impact.
Well, the big problem has been that you're considered a big influencer on getting people to move. And when you go to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, Pork Fest, which is in the end of June in northern New Hampshire by Lancaster at Rogers Campground, which has been like a thing. I think I've gone to, last 15 or something. I've been going since 08. And I never planned to go. I just always wind up going because it's hot in Phoenix, man. You know, but so it's been very interesting to see, you know, the wave, the interest, the numbers, the issues, that, you know, the interest of the man. You know, how many times CNN and NPR shows up, you know, that kind of thing. And what has happened is you've been very influential. A lot of people from around the world and certainly the country that learned of it from you and Mark. And they're going, you know, we're going. Well, I can see why that's such a threat to they, them, those that don't want to give up any influence or power. Because that's why they're going after the influencers. It's always the podcast, the YouTubers, the activists. So they're like, oh, man, they're inspiring. Inspiration is a dangerous thing. And, you know, we've experienced, you know, our share. But the point is I can see why they're targeting, they're surveilling all your correspondence. They, you know, tap into your Wi-Fi. They're, you know, they're kicking in your door, I don't know, more than once. So this, but every time the community comes back, make sure you got the equipment that you need. They got some, they lend, they buy, they Amazon-y, they want, whatever the crap they got to do to keep it going. And it just has to piss them off. And then when you start naming names, you know, they don't like that either. So, and then it's a lot of, one of the things when the Crypto 6 thing happened, we have good friends, Derek J. and Stephen. They live in Portsmouth, which is a coastal town, southeastern New Hampshire. And they had a thing called AnyPay that was very convenient for retail outlets and restaurants and so on to make use of several cryptos. And that was the point. They didn't make it easy. After your arrest, they didn't think they did anything wrong either, but the FBI, like following them on the streets or walking down the sidewalk, just talk to us, answer the door, talk to us. Nope, don't want to. Intimidated them enough, they went to the Mediterranean. Like, now they're in the Caribbean or something. They said, and we're at it. They made it clear, okay? So this is how they operate, but Ian would not be intimidated. No, make them make you, make them say it, okay? So this wound up with Ian getting arrested. So talk about the what you were doing that they are using against you. You guys had the Shire Society Church, you know, you talk about that. Talk about your ATMs that you did. Talk about being open and upfront about everything that you were doing and what they used or excuse to raid you. You know, tell us.
Yeah. So we formed the Shire Free Church back in 2013 as a peace church. So the mission of the church is to foster peace. It's an interfaith church, which means that there's not one particular faith, but people of all faiths are welcome as long as they are peace advocates. So you can't be a Christian and be a pro-war Christian and be in the Shire Free Church. You can't be a pro-war Muslim and be in the Shire Free Church. You have to be a peace advocate. And so after over a year of the church being around, and the church runs Free Talk Live, that's essentially our online ministry, our radio or broadcast ministry. And so I caught the vision to help people get in touch with or get connected with being able to buy Bitcoin at the, you know, the lowest possible price that could make it viable to do that. And the reason why is because I see Bitcoin as, and cryptocurrency in general, as a tool for peace. And what I mean by that is the government money is, of course, a tool for war. And that's what we've seen them do over decades now, is printing endless trillions of dollars.
Without the Federal Reserve, you don't have wars.
That's right. And that's true for all central banks. But you know, they go to war, they go to endless war, and that means a massive wealth transfer from peaceful people, people who might support peace, to warmongers and the military-industrial complex. So I saw Bitcoin and still see Bitcoin and gold and silver and other alternatives that aren't related directly to the dollar as a way out for people who want to get their wealth out of that system. Because as long as you have your wealth in dollars, then they can essentially tax it through the inflation tax, which is what they do when they print money, is they're adding more money to the money supply. And that's why we see prices go up, which, of course, the mainstream media is constantly misreporting what inflation actually is. They seem to think it's just an increase in prices, but that's actually the symptom of inflation, inflation being the increase in the money supply. So how do you protect yourself from this? You get into the alternatives, precious metals, cryptocurrency. And so cryptocurrency connection with some of the people in New Hampshire here who were developing Bitcoin vending machines, like the folks over at Lamassu, which was created in Manchester. So I was familiar with the technology and decided that we were going to go ahead and put a Bitcoin vending machine here in Keene and make it available to the public. Anybody who wanted to purchase Bitcoin could do so. At that time, we were the only Bitcoin vending machine in the region. There was nothing in Vermont. There was nothing, I don't think, in Massachusetts, nothing in Maine. So we were the only one doing that. And after some time, there was some news coverage about this. There was an article that made it into the Concord Monitor. And, of course, that's the capital of New Hampshire. That's where the bureaucracies are. And if our vending machine wasn't on the radar of the regulators yet, it certainly was as of that article. And there later on were some hearings at the New Hampshire State House. They had created this commission to study cryptocurrency, and the banking regulators had sent their person to this particular commission. And she, her name's Marion Torben Despasis, she spoke, and she was talking about Bitcoin vending machines. And at the time, there were only two in New Hampshire, and Shire Free Church was operating both of them. One of them was in Manchester, and one of them was in Keene. So when she was talking about the Bitcoin vending machines, she was talking about our machines, because she couldn't have been talking about anyone else's. And she said, quote, "We don't regulate that," meaning that the Shire Free Church machines sold from their own wallets. We had what they call a hot wallet, which had some amount of Bitcoin in it, and when people would purchase the Bitcoin, the wallet amount would go down. So what some machines do, which might better be called Bitcoin ATMs or whatever, we like Bitcoin vending machine, but these other machines, they connect the buyer to an exchange. So the machine itself doesn't actually own its own Bitcoin. It's just acting as a middleman between the buyer and the machine's exchange. And so therefore, there's an argument that that would be money transmission under the government's definition of money transmission. So we didn't want to be involved in money transmission, and the church had enough Bitcoin to be able to facilitate this. So we were just selling directly to people.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News update. Former President Donald Trump says he will skip the second Republican presidential primary debate in California next week. Instead, he'll head to Detroit to address a gathering of current and former union members. His speech during prime time will stand as an alternative broadcast to the September 27th debate scheduled at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. Discussions surrounding a renewed attempt at bipartisan immigration reform gaining momentum, but Senator John Cornyn said he had hoped some sort of reforms would have happened by now.
My thought was that at some point, things would get so bad that President Biden might be prompted to actually do something, and I guess I was wrong.
Since President Biden took office, more than 5.5 million people have entered the country illegally. The Powerball jackpot continues to climb. It's now worth $638 million for tonight's drawing. That's a cash value of $304 million. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
This hour, Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing our conversation with Ian Freeman of the Crypto Six and talk show host for Free Talk Live, owner of Liberty Radio Network, talking about the FBI DOJ prosecution of them dealing in cryptocurrency as the people's money in New Hampshire.
So we didn't want to be involved in money transmission, and the church had enough Bitcoin to be able to facilitate this. So we were just selling directly to people. So it's just a direct sale from one wallet to another And this went on for quite some time. At some point, I decided that somebody introduced me to localbitcoins.com, and I thought this would be a great way to expand our mission to spread Bitcoin. And so I began selling on local Bitcoins as well as another way to get people to be able to purchase Bitcoin at hopefully a competitive price to what was out there. In fact, our Bitcoin vending machines were nearly always the lowest priced in the region after finally other people decided to jump into the industry.
Okay, now other ATMs...
Now there's over 100 machines in New Hampshire. Go ahead.
Well, those others, are they under attack? And why aren't they? You know, I mean, what how did you get singled out after... Because you were an inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Shire Free Church paved the way for these others to be operating in New Hampshire. You know, we showed that it was until my house was raided, it seemed like it was pretty safe. But these other ones, I presume they've gotten a bunch of government paperwork and permission slips and that sort of thing. So it turns out if you have a government permission slip and then somebody buys Bitcoin through your Bitcoin vending machine, and they got scammed by somebody on the internet and they're buying for their scammer, then you are completely protected, it seems like, because all those other people, they didn't get charged criminally. Every bank teller who sent away somebody, some poor scam victim's life savings, not a single one of those people has been charged. But they did come after me and my friends. And essentially, they charged us with, of course, dozens of different things. 17 of my charges were dropped before trial, and I went to trial on 8 counts. One of them is so-called money transmission without a license. And then there was another conspiracy to do money transmission. And then there's 4 counts of so-called tax evasion. There was 1 money laundering charge with an undercover agent pretending to be a drug dealer, which the judge has subsequently dropped after the jury found me guilty of. And now the prosecution is appealing that to the appeals court, saying that the judge made a mistake and he shouldn't have dropped that. So that one's under some dispute right now. And then there is a money laundering conspiracy or conspiracy to money launder, where they're alleging that I was knowingly helping online scammers bilk people out of their life savings online, which, of course, there's not a shred of evidence
for.
Yeah,
how did they make that case for the jury, though?
Well, turns out, Ernie, that even though it doesn't mention it in the law itself, there's something, some kind of court precedent, I guess, called willful blindness. And essentially, willful blindness means that there's something that's so in your face, obvious, that is illegal going on, that if you pretend to not notice it, they say you are part of it, essentially. And so... they essentially said that because some of my buyers were older, of retirement age, that therefore I should have known that they were being taken advantage of or something like that. I mean, it was the most ridiculous innuendo. They suggested at one point that because they weren't typing, you know, you know, people on the internet just, they cut corners when they type, right? They use shorthand or internet speak, etc., things like that. They said, oh, well, these elderly people would never type in the way that some of these people were typing, and so therefore you should have known that you were dealing with a scam artist. I had no idea that I was dealing with scam artists. I found out later when the discovery came in about these scam victims, but I did not know at the time. There were a couple of times when it was brought to my attention while I was selling Bitcoin. And in those times, I did work with the police who were investigating these cases and handed over as much information as I could, because I don't believe in scams and I don't support them, and I'll do whatever I can.
Well, let's talk about that, what that meant. There is a, you know, it's like you get the email, I'm Nigerian prince, it's got a, you'll get rich if you work with my whatever the heck. Or, you know, I love you, Lunk, I like your picture of whatever the heck it was, okay? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that there's these scams all over and they got taken advantage of. And these people told them, they go, because it is a lot more anonymity and they get away with a lot of stuff and online, you need to go get Bitcoin. This is how you do it. We can, whatever I need to save the, whatever the heck scam it was. And they got these people to go and take out money and go get Bitcoin, which they did.
Yeah.
you facilitated that by existing, okay? And they go, well, see, they got scammed and you helped. But if you were a bank teller, they don't get in trouble. You know, even these other ATMs with Bitcoin don't get in trouble. This is one thing, because we went through this with a good friend of mine that was worked with Freedom's Phoenix named Thomas Costanzo.
Morpheus.
Right.
Yeah.
Morpheus. He did a couple of years' time, but same kind of thing. He was out in the open. He was on local Bitcoin. He's on Craigslist. He had the East Valley in the Phoenix area. That's why they had Westside Bitcoin, which later became Phoenix Crypto, because he had the East, they had the West. He just didn't overlap. They were friends, and, you know, that's how it happened. Well, what happened was they set him up a sting going, well, I am a Russian drug dealer, and I need to have, and he's like, I don't need to hear that crap. I don't care. He's like, didn't believe him, because he goes, Russian drug dealers don't go around telling you they're a Russian drug dealer. They're just saying, you know. But the because he didn't stop the transaction, boom, got him for money laundering, whatever the heck they did. What was interesting to me, we went to all the hearings and so on during this process, was the voir dire, was the jury selection. Anybody that knew anything about crypto, they dismissed them. They don't want you to know anything. They go, will you abide by the expert decision of the prosecution brings in, they say, and he goes, no, not if I know how Bitcoin works. I mine. If they, and you're excused, okay?
And they're gone.
Anybody that knew anything about jury nullification, and you're gone, okay? So this is when I hear these things and how your case went. Were you there during the jury selection process? How scamdemic was that?
Same thing. Anyone that knew anything about cryptocurrency was rejected, with the exception of one guy who said he was critical of cryptocurrency, and we chose not to reject him simply because my attorney described him as a potential wild card. And my initial thought was that he should be rejected. But I kind of listened to my attorney in that case because, well, you know, this guy was a programmer. He's around people who are into crypto. He wasn't convinced on it is the way it sounded. And as it turned out, he ended up being foreman of the jury. And I think that he definitely, I mean, just my speculation, he definitely, I think, led the jury to convict me. So probably was a mistake to keep him on the jury, but We rolled the dice with that one. You know, it was Morpheus's case that it was also like mine in that he didn't take a plea deal. He's one of the few crypto people over the last half a decade plus of cases. And I was well aware of his case when that was going on and well aware of other cases where other local Bitcoin sellers were targeted. And most of the time they would charge them with money transmission, quote unquote, And they would always do this Russian heroin dealer thing. Like every time, it was the same exact approach from the feds, same undercover kind of setup. And most of
it worked once. We'll do it again.
Right. Yeah. And it kept working. It was working many, many, many times. In fact, what you would end up seeing was the people who were the local Bitcoin sellers would, as Morpheus unfortunately did, would go ahead and make the sale after the person said that they were a heroin dealer. And unfortunately, that's textbook money laundering. And so looking at the charges that they had against them and intimidated, of course, by them, 99% of them, with the exception of Morpheus, went ahead and took the plea deal, and they pled to either a money laundering count or they would drop the money laundering count and they would plead to the money transmission. And my thought at the time was, well, looking at these cases, not a single one of these people actually ended up going to trial for money transmission. And I'm thinking, they don't actually have a case for money transmission. I don't think they think they can win a case for money transmission. That's why they always bring the money laundering count, which is a much bigger count with a maximum of 20 years in prison. Money transmission is just a maximum of 5. I mean, it's still a lot for anybody, but nowhere near as bad as 20. So my thought was, well, I mean, I'm not going to fall for this Russian heroin dealer trick, so they're going to have to just bring a money transmission count against me, and then I want to fight it. Well, Turns out they tried the Russian heroin dealer trick with me, and I told them, I'm not going to sell you Bitcoin because of what you told me you do for a living. And then he came back to one of our crypto meetups, and at the end of the meetup, he asked me if the vending machine was still running in Keene, and I told him it was. And he said, well, can I use it? And I said, I can't tell you can use that, okay? And he said, all right, okay. And that was the end of the conversation. So they brought a money laundering charge against me for selling to the Russian heroin dealer when he went to the vending machine and put $20,000, apparently, into the machine. I didn't give him permission to do that. I didn't tell him it was okay to do that. But essentially, the government's argument was that I didn't tell him no explicitly enough. I didn't specifically tell him no.
You didn't guard the machine with your machine gun. Yeah, I get it.
Right. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I did not give him the approval, and I told him I would not sell to him, which is why he went to the machine to buy from it anyway. I suspect he would have gone to the machine if I'd given a more explicit denial. But I said, look, I can't tell you that you can use that, okay? And he said, all right, okay. That sounds to me like he's not going to go to the machine.
I want to make this this point.
So they convicted me of that.
Anyway, you know, all right. Morpheus, when he went through this process, the judge was probably better than most. There was a bunch of judges didn't want to do it. They were afraid, you know, the federal marshals were in there, and they're, you know, all, ooh, security thing. They're going to storm the building and free their Morpheus friends, like it's a scene out of the Matrix or something. And we're just like, who are you people? What the heck? And they were really upset. A lot of the guys were videotaping. Well, they had videotape of a lot of the federal guys coming in, going out. So they were out and, you know, some of their informants or so on, you know, that they didn't like that at all, you know. But they probably didn't even know they were the informants or whatever. They were just videotaping what's going on, and they freaked, and life sucks. We can videotape outside, certainly. But that's another thing we'll talk about. They wanted to stop you from being able to videotape, and you had activists that were videotaping. They got arrested, and we'll talk about that. But the judge liked Thomas. He thought he was a straight-up guy. He didn't, and the prosecution would play tapes of him saying, I hate the central banks, they suck, and IRS suck, and they all suck, and government sucks. And they go, listen to this jury, he says the government sucks, you know? And I'm like, well, they must have had all municipal employees or something on the jury, because, you know, who doesn't think that? But anyway, so at the end of this, in the sentencing, I sat there and heard the judge say, you know, Thomas seems like a stand-up guy. I wouldn't mind having coffee with him. You know, it's all good. You know, he was like, and he was really admonishing the prosecution because he kept wanting to get financial institution. They wanted you to be labeled as a financial institute. You're doing things at financial institute. You're trying to take over some of the central bank job, and you're not supposed to, and you can't, and we're going to stop you. That kind of thing. Well, they couldn't get that. And they just, you know, the judge, nope, not doing it. And they didn't get that. That was their real goal, was to try and classify what you're doing as a financial institution, giving them jurisdiction. All this other money laundering stuff, all the other stuff, throwing up the little ladies, whatever the heck they got to do, was camouflage for them wanting to get this financial institution thing so they can have, you know, the ability to regulate. Well, I was in, it was just May, this last May, I happened to be in New York visiting family while I was up here in New England, and I talked to Theo Chino Theo. I don't know if you remember, he was, you know, a Bitcoin guy that tried to follow the law in New York City. He was had a bunch of exchanges, you know, he was selling Bitcoin and promoting it at the little bodegas, these little general stores are on all the corners and so on, because right. He saw a good way of doing it. Everybody all in Harlem, where he was, a lot of people had these phone cards. Well, you get a discount if you use crypto at these places. So that's how he was introducing crypto. Well, then the New York Department of Financial Services or whatever, they were trying to trick everybody. This is when, you know, Charlie got arrested, when they were doing with Eric Voorhees, and they were early on trying to be $8,000 a day they're paying for attorneys to try and comply with everything. They didn't want you to comply. They didn't need. They created a new regulation that had all these board members that then went to work as lobbyists for the crypto industry. While they were saying you couldn't get, you know, licenses and so on, well, Theo was, hey, I'll comply. You got that in there? Okay, well, I'm applying. I want to be able to do this. That's not really for you. You know, you're not allowed. So he got heavily involved in Morpheus's case. He was following it, talking with attorneys, flew out to Arizona, came on the show in the studio there. You know, when I was just in May in New York, he saw on the site or something that I was in New York, hey, you're not going to call a brother up? What's up? So he calls me, and we were talking. I just didn't have time to go visit him. We were talking. While we were talking, he said he just got a communication from Morpheus that he was sitting down for coffee with the judge. This was, you know, the judge, true to his word, after he was off probation and everything, he went and had a meal with the judge. And I'm going, I still haven't heard that story yet, so I definitely want to hear about that. So, a lot of these guys, they're not bad people. They're doing, you know, went through their due diligence. You did. You're like, no, we're going to have freedom-oriented people's money, whether you like it or not. And we went and searched, and you can't, you know, come after us for, well, yes, we can. And the one thing that they always want is to classify you as a financial institution so that they can regulate you. Just today, we were talking about, you know, the previous show before this. The G20 met, and to be head of the G20 is India's turn now. Well, they were in there, and what are they talking about? Central bank digital currencies that are linked to a global ID, digital ID, digital currency, and what is in their way? You. They don't want you to have an alternative. You're not going to have cash anymore. India did away with cash. You know, they're not going to have, you know, anything but surveillance for everybody. They'll be able to turn you off. And, oh, by the way, your social credit score, if it's tied to your health records, you got your COVID-19, you know, app, you got. And who was the example standing in the way of, no, we don't need your stinking permits, and we are trading amongst the people, not just in crypto, silver, gold, gold backs, which is like a gold leaf with a polymer around it, actually has its gold, you know, and that is awesome. I was with you in at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas when that was presented. You go, ooh, man, I want a bunch of that, you know? So that became a thing. And you go, as an aside, you go to Pork Fest, like this last year, you go in and you buy a bulk, you get 100 ones or whatever. You pay $3.60-something for one of the singles, you know, that has, you know, a certain amount of gold in it. And it was readily accepted at all the vendors immediately at $4. So you got a discount, you got a coupon right off the bat. Well, they're beautiful. They're just, you know, very nice, attractive. They're localized to each state or something. They're just spreading across the country. And Ian is one of the promoters of that. So there's a lot of reasons to go after Ian. They anticipate that not going to live up to your rhetoric. And if you got 20 years, you're going to do a plea deal. And, well, Ian's like, nah, I think I'll decline. So
they actually asked, just so you know, there really wasn't much of a plea deal that they offered. They just sort of offhand, this was probably like April of 2022, they told my attorney, maybe it was before that, anyway, that at some point on some sort of phone call with my attorney, they said, well, he could take a plea to every charge that we've charged him with, which was like, you know, a dozen charges or whatever, and we'll drop the one charge that had a 10-year minimum sentence on it, which was the what they call the continuing financial crimes enterprise. This was the biggie. This was the, you know, this is the scariest one, right? Because it's got a minimum 10-year sentence. And turns out they ended up dropping that charge before trial with the 17 charges that they had dropped at that point. So they wanted me to plead to everything except that one charge, which, of course, was a no-go. And I don't want to take a plea on any of these charges because it's all BS. And it's unfortunately they convinced the jury of this particular BS because juries aren't particularly legally minded. They don't understand the law. They don't understand, you know, the ins and the outs of what we might be arguing or whatever. And so, you know, hindsight being 2020, I do wonder if we would have had a better chance with just a bench trial with a judge and not actually having a jury. My thought at the time, though, was, well, we're in New Hampshire. It's probably better to have a New Hampshire jury than it is a California or a New York jury. But ultimately, that didn't matter because they seemed to buy absolutely everything that the BS that the prosecution was selling, including this ridiculous claim that I was somehow involved with scam artists, which they didn't show a shred of evidence for because there is no evidence for that.
You know,
but yet they still convicted me on that count.
This is one thing I was going to ask you if you considered just having the judge do it because you have that option. In Arizona, we came across this. It was a complicated case. You know, I remember, you know, Mark Victor, good friend, a criminal defense attorney, and we were talking about this. And he goes, you know, we want to waive our right to a jury trial. We're going to have the judge do this. And the judge goes like this. He says, well, Mr. Prosecution, are you going to waive your right to the jury trial? And Mark's like, what the heck is that? What do you mean they got a right to a jury trial? Yes, in Arizona, the prosecution, they can select they want a jury trial. And with all this voir dire and propaganda, of, you know, you wonder, why do they do such stupid crap? You know, in the media, they control the media, big tech, they're constantly, you know, whatever narrative that they got going on. It's for the jury pool. It's because they get people that are more inclined to side with government. None of you freedom guys out there. And that was, you know, and he was dumbfounded. He's like, I did not know that. Well, now we know.
Wow.
You know, so I wonder if New Hampshire or federal cases or whatever, if that's the case. But even the jury nullification thing where you go, this is just dumb. The jury just say not guilty. Well, you're not allowed to tell them that. But in New Hampshire, I thought you did.
No, only state courts. So you can talk about jury nullification in New Hampshire state courts, but in federal courts, it is a no-no. In fact, the prosecution put in a motion in advance asking the judge to forbid any conversation about jury nullification during the case. So it was specifically an issue that the prosecution was concerned with. Because, you know, they're worried, right? Like, they want to make sure that they control as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, they want the ATF justice. You just freaking, you know, why even have a jury?
Would you tell me, please, Mr. Howard, why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away?
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.